There is no greater honor on earth than to be part of God's church. We've been singing about it. We continue this morning just briefly in our study of the book of Romans. We've been looking at Paul's letter to the Romans and talking about what we see there. The letter's about the good news of the righteousness of God. God, holy, holy God, demands righteousness from us if we would ever have a relationship with him, and yet that God has given us that which he demands through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last week, we saw that to daily live out the will of God for the glory of God is the only logical response to the gospel of God. That's what David's been singing about. David's been singing to you the gospel, God's goodness to us, and how we need to respond with our lives. Today, on this Homecoming Sunday, as we celebrate a long history of this local church, God's Word speaks directly to us, as you turn with me in your Bibles, to Romans chapter 12, about the priority of life in the local church, the priority of life in the local church. We're going to be looking at Romans 12, 1 through 8. Here's the truth I want you to get hold of and take home. To humbly give ourselves in sacrificial service in the local church is the only logical response to the gospel of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Other translations say, in view of the mercies of God, 11 chapters worth of gospel truth up to this point in the letter. Paul says, in view of the mercies of God, give your life. Give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And we talked about last week the reality that the only logical response to the gospel of God is to live our lives every day for the glory of God. No matter where we are, no matter what level of our lives. So today we want to think about this question. What does that look like? What does it look like to live together as the church as living sacrifices? So if you obey last Sunday's message, if I take Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I lay my life on the altar, what's it going to look like when we're all together doing that? Well, that's what Paul's talking to us about in Romans 12, 3 through 8, and right on into the rest of the chapter. This is where our personal response to God is proven, number one, and it gets real practical, number two. How do we make life in the local church the priority God says it should be in our daily lives and in our weekly schedules? Well, three things to notice quickly this morning. We must continually be making a right assessment of ourselves and Jesus, by the way. Verse 3 says, having just said, give our lives as sacrifices, don't be conformed to the world, be transformed. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, Paul says, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith. That is to say, the gospel that God has given us. Measure yourself. Assess yourself. We must continually be making a right assessment of ourselves, and we must be rightly thinking about Jesus. Measure yourself. Assess yourself, this verse says. Think about yourself according to the gospel, to the good news that God gave his son to be our savior as he lived a perfect life in the place of sinners like us, and then died the death our sins deserve in order to eternally satisfy the justice and wrath of a holy, holy, holy God. For all who will ever trust in him. You see, what Paul's saying in this verse is the ground's level at the cross, and we need to remember that. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. All stand in need of grace and of a Savior. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter what all you've done in service to Jesus. It doesn't matter, on the other hand, how new you are to this whole thing called Christianity. It doesn't matter how little you've been involved in the kingdom of God. All stand in need of God's grace and of a Savior. And taking God's grace in Jesus as a gift by faith is the only way anyone will ever be made right with holy God. And so let's just stop right there and ask the question on this homecoming Sunday. Maybe you're here, grandma, mama, somebody drug you to church, but you've never trusted this Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Today on homecoming Sunday would be the perfect day, the only perfect day for your salvation. Would you come to Him today? Would you trust Him? Simply put your faith in Him? Pastor Ray Ortland quotes John the Baptist, who said of Jesus, He must increase, but I must decrease. We've got to have a right assessment of ourselves and of Jesus. He must increase, I must decrease. But Ray Ortland says, we think He must increase and I can increase. Me and Jesus, we can increase together. Is this not the American gospel? I'll share the platform with Jesus. And Pastor Ray Ortland says, that is evil. It's a wrong assessment of ourselves and of Jesus. When God saved us, no longer is life about us. When God saved us, we became part of the body of Christ. When we were by faith united with Jesus, in that moment, do you remember where you were? Do you remember what was going on? Do you remember that moment the Spirit of God drew you to trust Jesus? In that same moment when you were united by faith with Jesus, you were simultaneously by His Spirit united with every true truster in Jesus Christ on the planet. In the same moment that you trusted Christ. And especially in the local church in which God then placed you. And if, when we assess ourselves, we find that our schedules and priorities show us that our lives are still being lived for us, and the local manifestation of the body of Christ is not a high priority in our schedules, then here's the deal. In light of Romans 12, 1 through 8, we are far from giving our lives as living sacrifices to God in the only kind of worship that makes sense. We are far from making the priority of life in the local church what God says it ought to be in our own lives. And in fact, we are thinking, according to this verse, more highly of ourselves and our desires and our ambitions, even our families, than we ought. To be sure, giving ourselves as living sacrifices to God is certainly more than serving in the local church, but hear me, it is not less. It's not less. The gospel moves us to rightly assess ourselves and live as joyfully active members of the local church. Just notice that. Don't miss that. After the living sacrifice passage, verses 1 and 2, the first thing that comes to the Apostle Paul's mind is our involvement in the local church. That's what kind of priority Paul understood Jesus to have for David, his bride, and our part in it. We must, secondly, continually have, not only a right assessment of ourselves, but a right attitude about the church. Look at verses 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. The body of Christ. Just listen to what I'm saying to you. You are a member of the body of the risen Christ. And we all hear this in America today. We all belong to one another. What does that mean? Joe, it means I'm your servant and you are my servant. And there's a joy in this interdependence that we cannot find anywhere else by the design of our Father for His church and for the bride of His Son. We must have a right attitude about the church. Francis Chan says, it is true that God may have called you to be exactly where you are, but it is absolutely vital to grasp that He did not call you there so you could settle in and live your life in comfort and superficial peace, just like the world around you. We belong to one another. And more importantly, we all together belong to Him, to Jesus. And that means if we're to logically respond to the gospel of God's grace in Jesus, we must continually, thirdly here, we must continually give, not only have a right attitude toward the church, but we must continually give right attention to serving the church. Look at it in verses 6 through 8. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. A couple things to notice in that passage. First of all, serving in that verse, serving according to our various gifts in the local church. Hear me. That is that ability, that opportunity, that privilege is a gift of grace from God. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Secondly, from that verse, notice with me this. You are to use the gracious gifts God has given you. I'm to use the gracious gifts God has given you, given me. Listen to me. Not as a tag on to the end of my week when I'm exhausted and can't give God my best, but only my leftovers. I'm to do it well. As a first priority in my life. You see, it's an undeserved privilege given to us by the Father to represent Christ to our world as we love one another and as we love our community as a body. Is that how we think about serving in the church? The text goes on, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach how? Well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give how? Generously. If God's given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Other translations say, lead with zeal, passion. Be a leader who is alive in Christ and excited about Jesus and His church. Be the one that everyone looks to imitate in how they love Jesus. And if you have a gift of showing kindness for others, do it how? Gladly. What's the point of all this? We're not going to get bogged down in all the different gifts that are listed here. His point in verses 6, 7, and 8 is this. Whatever God's gifted you to do, do it with everything you've got. This is what it means to be a living sacrifice and to give your body as a living sacrifice to God. This is what it means to respond to the mercies of God in Jesus and say, God, if you would give me your son, I give you my all. You are my first priority. In fact, you are my boss. You're my Lord. You're my master. I give you everything I've got. And Paul says, where that sacrificial living begins is in the body, where you use your gifts, not half-heartedly, not halfway, but 100% wide open for the glory of the one who died for you. To humbly give ourselves in sacrificial service in the local church is the only logical response to the gospel of God. So, if life in the local church is not priority in our lives and schedules, then we aren't thinking logically as those who claim to truly trust in God's grace in Jesus. Amen? It just doesn't make sense to have a schedule that looks anything different than the local body of Christ as a priority. It just doesn't. Are you? Am I? Chasing some other priority that you think will be more fulfilling and give you more happiness and joy in life than serving in the local church. You know what C.S. Lewis said? He said, when we want to be something other than the thing God wants us to be, we must be wanting what, in fact, will not make us happy. What do you think about your father? This, remember, this is the father who gave his son to to save you by a perfect life in your place and a sin atoning death on the cross in your place, to raise in the third day to give you victory and power over sin. What do you think about your Father? Is he good? Joe, we sing good, good Father, but then we live like he's not good. We live like when he calls us and commands us to live our lives with certain priorities, he's just trying to wreck our schedule. He's just trying to sideline our fun. He can't possibly understand how fun you fill in the blank, how important you fill in the blank, what a priority in our lives you fill in the blank this must be, and how much fulfillment we receive from it. We must believe that our Father doesn't want us to live fulfilled lives, doesn't want us to be truly joyful and happy in him with a happiness that can't be replicated in the world. We must really believe that our Father wants to wreck our day and make us bored stiff in this thing called life. Because when we want to be something other than what God wants us to be, we must be wanting what in fact, and we are wanting what in fact will not make us happy. You see, to humbly give ourselves in sacrificial service in the local church, it's the only logical response to the gospel of God. Today's celebration of 126 years of East LJ Baptist Church history, listen to me, it's the result of the grace of God to enable so many who have gone before, and so many of you in this room today, to sacrificially give yourselves in service to this local church in response to the gospel. It's because so many who've gone before and continue to serve to this day have said the only way to respond to the gospel is to give my life a living sacrifice, which means I'm going to make the local church, my church family, priority in my weekly and monthly and even daily schedule. And can I just say this to you out of love for the Church of Jesus Christ in this place? If East LJ Baptist Church is to be a living and vital local manifestation of the body of Christ 10 years from now, hear me. It will be because many of you who are here today either continue or perhaps begin to give yourself in sacrificial service to the ministry of this church as a living sacrifice to your God and Father. What an honored way to live our lives. What a privilege to be part of the body of Christ, where God shows himself in and through us through our service to him and our love one for another. More about love next week, but our love for one another as we use the gifts he's given, rightly assessing ourselves, having a right attitude toward the church, which is David only to see it as the beautiful bride of Christ. You know, here's the deal. Church is made of people, and people are hard to love sometimes. Amen. Preachers are hard to love. Deacons are hard to love. Y'all are hard to love, right? We're hard to love. We're people. We're people. We're fallen. We're not perfect. But every day, I ask God to remind me, God, help me to love your church the way Jesus loved your church. And he died for that church. Do you love the body of Christ that way? What an honor. Can I encourage you, if you're here with us today and you're not from here, you're just visiting because of homecoming and you serve in some other local church, may I just encourage you, take this message home. And humbly give yourself in sacrificial service to your local church. It's the only logical response to the gospel of God. This morning I've asked Sheila Miller to come and share with you the joy of serving in one of our in our church family through one of our newest ministries, the International Learning Center. And Sheila's going to take a couple of minutes to share her joy in doing that. So many others could come and share as well. But what does it look like? What does a person sound like who is finding the joy God intends in serving by their gifts in the local church? Maybe you're just not plugged in at all here today, and you're nervous about that. You're not sure what that's going to feel like, what's going to look like. Just listen to the heart of someone who's serving in our local church. Come on up, Sheila, where they can see you.
I was not supposed to be here today. However, God had other plans. Because I had told several people we were going to be out of town for the month of August, and we were going to do some things we wanted to do. And Chad texted me. Wednesday, I think Tuesday, can you do this? And I'm going, God had other plans. This service has truly been ordained of God from Sunday school on. And Walt, I don't know where you are, but he preached, Brother Aiken, right on and on to this message. When Pastor presented ILC last year to the church, I knew that I'd be involved. And you might ask why. Well, it's because of the gospel, missions, the lost, the opportunity to reach out beyond this building. So I have some questions this morning. Do you find yourself conforming to the culture rather than transforming it? Yeah, some of us do. Do you ever wonder if this is what Christ meant when he said, follow me? Maybe yes, maybe no. But if no, you should. Because Pastor did an excellent job this morning of telling you of what it means. The Great Commission. Matthew 28, the last verses that he's been reading to us over and over and over. This is a mandate. It is not if I feel like it attitude. It is from God's word that we who call ourselves followers of Christ to go out, lend ourselves to Jesus for him to use through us. The International Learning Center is really doing that to East L.J. Baptist Church. It's doing that. You know why? Because the difference is the world has come to our doorstep. And are we going to shut this door? Or are we going to step out through that door and reach others? Don't turn away. We're calling you to help us advance the kingdom of God through ILC. ILC, International Learning Center. Our goal is to teach English to those who don't look like us, may not act like us, not dress like us, even think like us. Believe me, I learned that these students think differently than I do. Right, Miss Debbie? But it's been a joy, and through God's leading, we have been able to share his love to students who opened their door of trust to us. And that was a very difficult thing for them to do. And for some, it still is. But we're sharing the gospel through teaching English. My part was to teach the essentials class, which is the basic English class, very starting level. We have the introduction level in the workplace and study buddies. There is a place for some of you that God is calling to this ministry. You're just not listening. Some of you are not listening. But there's open doors of service right here with ILC. I love this past year being involved with ILC and my students from Mexico, Guatemala, and some was from Peru until they dropped out. And I actually got mad at Chris and Chad for separating my class last year. I did, but I had to get over that. I had 10 students. Kim, you remember that. They took half of our class and made another class so we could have more individual time with these students. And I got over that. But not once did I ever think about quitting in the middle of this. Never once did I think about entering my classroom without having a commitment to study through the week and prepare myself and pray over my students. This is not a fly by your pants, by the seat of your pants, and walk in that classroom and share and teach them. It takes a little bit of work. But I was delighted, and I think Frank can tell you, when I would come home sometimes, I would just be an hour coming down from the classroom. And he said, boy, you really had fun. Yeah, we did. Yes, we did. It was an excellent time that I had with Kim Jordan, my co-teacher. And you know what? I'm looking forward to this year. I'm renewing another year to work with ILC because of the friendships, the trust that these students have given to us, and because God says, this is my reasonable service to advance His kingdom. This is part of God's call to us to reach out of what was said in Sunday school, what was said through Brother Aiken, what was said through our pastor this morning. This is a mission field at our door. Please help us, and you will be truly enriched. You will grow and mature, and you will have lots of fun. God is great, and He is good.
Thank you, Sheila. I'll get it. Thank you. Thank you so much. And you know, the same God that, David, as you were singing about earlier, that chose us before the world began, set His affection on us and sent His Son to accomplish the salvation that He had planned for us, then by His Spirit drew us to Himself. In Ephesians 2, Paul says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As He was choosing us before time began, I don't understand what I'm talking about. That's a mystery we can't explain. At that very same time, He had a ministry for us. Part of our salvation is serving the one who served us. And it is part of your life's fulfillment and happiness. It's part of the created order for the elect of God. As we just bow our heads and move into a time of brief invitation, as David sings, this altar is open for you to come and respond. Maybe today you need to know Jesus for the first time. You need salvation. You need grace. You need forgiveness of sin. You need a right and holy standing with holy God. You need to take the gift that God's given you in Jesus and trust Jesus as your Savior today, and in that very same moment become a servant of the one who served you with all that He was and all that He is, even as He continues to intercede for us. The Father's right hand this morning. But maybe you're here and you're part of this local church, you're part of another local church visiting with us. The Spirit of God spoke into your heart, and you need to lay it on the altar in terms of making the local church the priority. God calls you to make it in your life. Whatever you need, as David leads and worship leads,